the 4Bs Vectis Radio Training School, supported by the Isle of Wight Foundation, focusing on combining the skills of Island Road staff together with financial assistance to help community schemes and projects here on the Isle of Wight.
Greetings, dear listener. My name is Alex Freeman. I am a keeper of all things exotic, geckos to tegus, from spiders to scorpions, from fish to frogs. If you can think of something that crawls, hops, slithers or swims, you can bet your last penny that I've got it. So step right up to my exotic emporium.
Hello everyone, I'm Alex Freeman and welcome back to my exotic emporium. Today we're going to continue our care guide over the frilled dragon or frilled lizard. So, let's get right back to where we left off. Let's start off with their diet and water requirements. Frilled dragons are omnivorous, meaning they can eat a varied diet of vegetation and meat. Although they can eat vegetation, they would rarely seek it out in the wild, and this species is much more focused on the meat portion of an omnivorous diet. In the wild, they would normally hunt a range of small mammals, small lizards, and invertebrates, although in captivity, we've found that live insects are best for this species. For the meat part of this omnivorous diet, I'd recommend brown crickets. They're very nutritious, fairly easy for the dragon to hunt, widely available and great value for money. If your dragon will not take them, black crickets and locusts are also a brilliant alternative. Every now and again, you might want to provide your dragon a treat. For this purpose, you could feed waxworms, castorworms, cockroaches, mealworms or beetle grubs. The grubs and worms tend to be quite fatty, so normally you'd only offer these a maximum of once or twice a week. Mealworms, morio worms and cockroaches can be difficult to digest, so you want to only provide these to mature dragons, which are 18 months or older, and only once or twice a week. As for their water, always include a large-sized water bowl in the dragon's enclosure. You might never see the dragon drink from it, but it should be there as a backup. You might notice the dragon use it for bathing, and this is usually to cool down and to help loosen the shedding skin. The water bowl should be kept on the cool side of the enclosure to prevent it from evaporating quickly. Next up is supplements. Frilled dragons will get most of what they need from their diet, but there are some vitamins and minerals that they require in higher concentrations. These are normally provided in the form of calcium and vitamin powders which are dusted onto the live food. There are many brands and types of supplements, but normally they come down to a pure calcium and vitamin, or vitamin only supplement. Within these groups, they will also either include or exclude synthetic vitamin D3. Vitamin D3 is produced by the reptile when it is exposed to UVB, and among other functions, it allows the dragon to use the calcium in their diet. If you are sure that the UVB levels in your enclosure are perfect, you can use a supplement without D3. If you are not sure, it would be best to use a supplement with some D3. Next up is breeding. Now, normally I don't really cover breeding, but I think with breeding it's a very important thing to do with the frilled dragons, as currently there's really not that many captive bred ones. They're all either wild caught from New Guinea, or they're farm raised. And farm raised isn't exactly the best method of keeping and breeding lizards, so I just thought I'd mention this in case there's any experienced breeders out there who may want to try and breed these, because the more captive bred animals, the merrier. Now, if you keep a male and a female together, they may breed. You do not need to do anything to encourage this, as long as they are healthy and the conditions are good. It will happen naturally. You need to consider whether you want this to happen before introducing the pair. What will you do with the babies if you incubate the eggs? A gravid female should have access to a nesting box to lay her eggs. The box should be large enough that she can fully turn around inside it. Inside the nesting box, use a soil mix that is kept humid enough to hold its shape, but not so wet that it will saturate any eggs. Once laid, the eggs should be incubated in an incubator at 84 degrees Fahrenheit. Try incubating your eggs in a sealed box, in sealed boxes on a moisture-rich substrate, to trap the humidity around the eggs. After approximately 60 days, the eggs will start to hatch. The first babies to emerge will encourage the rest of the eggs to hatch. And finally is cleaning. Frilled dragons, as with most pets, require a clean environment to thrive. Try and spot clean as often as possible, every day, and a full clean every 4 weeks or so. If you are keeping the dragon in a bioactive enclosure, you can spot clean and monitor the enclosure. it may still be a good idea to change out the bedding a few times per year. When cleaning the enclosure, you should remove your animal, all decorations, and all of the bedding. Once the enclosure is clear, you can spray it all over with a reptile-friendly disinfectant. These usually work very quickly and only need to be left for around 30 seconds. Instructions can normally be found on the disinfectant's packaging. Once the disinfectant has done its work, it can be wiped away from the surfaces with a paper towel. In some cases, you might want to repeat this process a second time to ensure that the enclosure is thoroughly cleaned. Your decorations can be cleaned in a similar method. Simply spray them down with the disinfectant and rinse thoroughly with water before drying them off and putting them back into the enclosure. I recommend this process is done during the daytime to make sure that the dragon will be going back to a warm vivarium for at least an hour before the basking lamps are turned off for the night. And that pretty much concludes care guide for the Frilled Dragon. Again, this is a fairly complex lizard, so always make sure to do your extra research with these animals. You know, these things aren't a leopard gecko. There's probably a lot more that I haven't covered in this podcast. These are basically just the basics, really. But join me next time as we discuss something a little different. Next episode, I'm going to be talking about bioactive enclosures and how to set one up. Join me next time for that one. Thank you all for visiting my exotic emporium and have a fantastic day.